How many glad to be saved tonight? Amen. Amen. I like the way y'all got things set up in here. That's nice. You got some over here and some over there. I'm used to having God's people this way, but I like this because I got them this way, and I got them to my right, and I got them to my left, and they just ain't nowhere for the devil to go but behind me, just where it belongs. Amen. I'm going to read to you tonight out of the book of Jude. I was kind of holding on to this. I thought I might preach this at a revival sometime and just go through the whole epistle here of Jude, but the Lord put it on my heart to preach tonight. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Don't worry, I won't keep you here too long, but we're going to touch on a few things tonight in the book of Jude. Whenever you have your places, if you don't mind, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We find here in the book of Jude, he's wrote a letter here. They call it a general epistle because that means it's not for one particular people, but it's for all people who are willing to read it. We'll begin reading in verse 3. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." Father, I pray to you tonight, Lord. I beckon you, Lord, that you just ever come down, Lord. Send us the fire from heaven, Lord, that heavenly fire, Lord, that godly fire, the fire of baptism, Lord, the fire of the Lord. Just send it down to us tonight, God. Lord, I pray that you just send it on me, Lord. Empty me in my flesh, Lord, and fill me with the Holy Ghost, that I'd ever just be able to preach the word as you'd have me to, not say anything contradicting your word, God. Give me that unction from on high, Lord, that I'd just be able to preach this word and proclaim, Lord, your sweet and holy word as you'd have me to, that it might be edifying unto the hearers, God. I pray here tonight that the people here, Lord, that you'd just open their ears, God, that they might hear, open their eyes that they might see, and open their hearts and minds that they'd have understanding, Lord, that they'd just be able to take your word and use it for their daily lives. And I pray, Lord, that as each and every one leaves here tonight, that you'd give them a safe trip traveling home. God, I pray that you'd touch the pastor of this church, God, that shepherd, Lord, just ever help him and give him healing, God, that he'd be back here once again Sunday morning, Lord, to continue to take care of this flock just as you'd have him to, Lord, completely 100% in your will. I pray, Lord, that you put my will aside tonight and the will of each and every man and woman and child aside here tonight, Lord, whatever it may be, that they may just be focused, God, on your will tonight. And Lord, whenever you do these things, we'll give you honor and glory and praises in the highest, Lord. And we'll just say that Jesus did it all. In your good name we beg. Amen. We'll start here in verse 3. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you." He needed to let us know here is what he's saying. "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." To exhort means to encourage. He's encouraging us to earnestly, to seek out with serious intent, to earnestly contend. Contend is to argue on behalf of, for the faith. He's telling us that we need to seriously argue the faith with those who are not believers. He's telling us that we seriously need to stand up for the faith. We need to stand on the right side of the line. Wherever the line is in the sand, we need to be on the right side of it all the time. And we need to take it serious. Because, he says, which was once delivered unto the saints. It was once delivered, the faith, The gospel, the message of Jesus Christ making an atonement for sins, was once delivered unto the saints, we find here. And that means that Jesus coming and dying for us can only be done once. That means that there was one way and only one way. And that is the only way. There is no other way. And he's saying to stick to those guidelines. Okay, we get to verse 4. He says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. That means you're not going to be aware that they're completely evil. You're not going to be aware that they're ravening wolves. They're going to come as a lamb. They're coming in when we're being unaware of it. It says they were before of old time ordained to this condemnation. That means that we've heard about it before. The prophets told about it before that these men was going to come. We see here that they're ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. How many churches are out there in our country today on behalf of the name of the Lord, so they claim, allow homosexuals in the church and to lead the church and do them types of things? How many churches out there are allowing, whatever else they have? You, they have women. We have women pastors. Women have a strong role, don't get me wrong, but I believe in the authority of Scripture. And it says, I suffer not a woman to usurp authority in the church. But you have that these days. You have people, you have pastors that have been divorced and are married to women that's been divorced and all these things. Hey, I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to get back to the authority of Scripture. What happens is you start letting little things in like that, and these churches are starting letting little things in. The next thing you know, they'll have a lesbian or some sort of homosexual for a preacher or something like that. Or they'll let all kinds of things go on in the church, and they'll say that it's right in the eyes of the Lord. Just like he says here, just like Jude is writing to us here, he says they'll turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They'll say he's merciful and he loves, and it's by his grace that we're able to do these things. That's what he's letting us know here. He also says, and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of these wicked men, these ungodly men, are going to come and they're going to speak on behalf of the Lord. Remember what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 7? He said that many are going to come and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and done in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So we got people that is going to speak on behalf of the Lord, but yet they're not truly going to be in God's will. They're not truly His children. And then we also have people who are going to deny Him. We also have teachers that are going to come in and they're going to deny Him. They're going to come into our country. They're going to come into the schools. They're going to come in every which way they can, every fashion they can, and they're going to try to teach. That's why you have evolution being taught. That's why you have everything that goes against God's Word being taught in schools. You have everything but God's Word being taught. Just about any kind of subject you can go to. You can go into math class, just about, folks, and they'll teach you something that goes against the Word of God because they want to put that disbelief in you. It was ordained of old that these men should come. Satan had it in the works a long time ago. Okay, but listen to this. Okay, all of that right there was exposition. Now we're going to get to the preaching. We start here in verse 5. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Tonight, I want to bring you a message on putting you in remembrance of the judgment of God. We need to be in remembrance of the judgment of God. Let's read on. I want to go to verse 7. I'm going to go to verse 7 real quick. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. That means Sodom and Gomorrah. What was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? Homosexuality. But furthermore, over top of that, was it was accepted as the normal in Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't just the fact that they were homosexuals and that men were sleeping with their daughters and so on and so forth and, you know, any kind of whatever. They were following the lust of their own heart. But it was acceptable to the people there. The people had accepted it, and they had called it right. And then whenever they'd done that, but it says here that Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities like them, in like manner, like Sodom and Gomorrah, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, those places are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. How did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He destroyed it with fire from heaven. But the Bible says here that it's not just He didn't just destroy them with fire, but it says they suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. Those people are still in hell today. He says it was set forth as an example. He set that forth as an example so we would be in remembrance of the judgment of God. We've forgotten. It says we once knew, but we've forgotten the judgment of God. You think about, you know, the mafia and gangs. Whenever one of them testifies against another one in court, or they, you know, sell some of the drugs and keep the money and don't give it to the boss or whatever, they'll be made an example out of. I remember my daddy, sometimes he'd make an example out of me for my sisters so they'd know not to do what I'd done. I remember teachers in school making an example out of me sometimes when I'd get out of line so they knew what I'd done. Well, God made an example out of these people so that we could see. That's why it was wrote down in His book. That's why we have a record of it, so that God would be able to show us here in 2016 what happens to places whenever you got homosexuality and you got all forms of ungodliness and you got a nation that no longer reverences God but turns and goes after their own lust in every sort of way. He's letting us know what happens. He set an example that we might be in remembrance of the judgment of God. Now then, we find here in verse 8, I want you to remember here, the suffering, the vengeance of eternal fire. I'm going to get back to that here in a little bit. They suffer a vengeance of eternal fire. And then we get to verse 8. It says, likewise, also these filthy dreamers. You know, when I see that word, when I think about that filthy dreamers. You know, I think about over there, whenever in Matthew, over there in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus told them, you know, He said there, you've heard it said that, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. But He says, but verily I say unto you, if a man look on a woman and lust after her, then he hath already committed adultery in his heart. These filthy dreamers, you've got people who don't think about the things of God. They don't meditate on the things of God. But yet they think about the things of the flesh. They think about the things of this world. That is their God. You know, you've got a God, you've got a religion of sex in this country. Right now, this day, pornography, homosexuality, transgender, whatever it is, you have a religion of sex. People follow that, and that is the most important thing to them. Sexual preference trumps religious freedom in this country. Right now it does. I'm telling you that right now it does. And let me explain this too. If you want to know how it got that way, it's because us, God's people, we dropped the ball. We let it come in on us. Because we, God's people, were not earnestly contending for the faith. We had forgot about God's judgment. We once knew it, but we forgot about it. We have got out of remembrance of God's judgment. He had set examples for us to remember His judgment, but we got away from that. We dropped the ball. That's why you have these filthy dreamers. They defile the flesh. The Bible is letting us know here whenever it was written 2,000 years ago, whenever Jude wrote this epistle, he's letting us know that they're going to defile their flesh. You know, you got these people that wants, you got men that wants to be women, children. I'm going to tell you right now, if you a boy, you a boy. In the beginning, He made them man and woman. And that's the only two genders there are. There ain't 5 or 10 or 61 or how many ever they want to say. There is two. There is man and woman. There is male and there is female. But they says they want to defile the flesh. They can't stand having the thought of a creator. I'm getting that right here. It says they despise dominion. In verse 8, it says they despise dominion. They can't stand the fact that there's a creator that made them, that governs their lives. That's why they don't want to believe. Just like over in verse 5 where it said, He destroyed them that believe not. They're destroyed for their non-belief. They're going to have an eternal fire, an eternal damnation, an eternal condemnation to answer for their non-belief. But why do they not want to believe? Why do they reject their Savior? Why do they not want to call upon His name like some of us here have? Why do they not want that? It's because they despise dominion. They do not like one governing their lives. They don't want to answer to a higher power. They don't want to believe that because it would interfere with what they want to do in the flesh. It would interfere with whatever they want to do. It would interfere with, you know, anything they want to do. If they want to do drugs, it's interfering with that. If they want to get drunk every weekend, it's interfering with that. If they want to be homosexual, it's interfering with that. Whatever it is in their life, it's interfering with it, and they think that that's funner and that that's worth it, and so they despise dominion. They despise one ruling over them. They, it says here also that they speak evil of dignities. They speak evil of dignities. If you speak out against ungodliness, if y'all made a video of this and put it on YouTube, then I guarantee you people would send me death threats tomorrow saying I'm a bigot and a homophobe and everything else and a racist or whatever else have you. They're going to call you some names. I'm going to ask you something. I want y'all to raise your hand. Give me a show of hands. How many in here in the last 6 months has been persecuted in some form for your faith? Okay, well then y'all need to start evangelizing more. Because if you were evangelizing more, you're going to get persecuted. Okay? You will be persecuted. I promise you, at the workplace, at the school place, children, at the mall, wherever it is. If you go and you truly preach and you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and you let people know that someone died for them, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They despise dominion. They go after the lust of their own flesh. They're going to speak evil of dignities. If you try to do good, they are going to put you down. They're going to say you're wrong. They're going to tell you you're wrong. Don't let them convince you, folks. You're right. You're right. Contend, earnestly contend for the faith. Okay, I'm going to go down to verse 10 now. I'm sorry to be skipping over. Like I said, this is what the Lord put on my heart. Just try to stay with me, please. Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. The things they speak evil of, the dignities that they speak evil of, the godliness that you're trying to stand for, that they speak evil of, they know not, because they've never been born again. They are lost, just like me and you were, friends. How do you help them? Is it just by telling them you're wrong, you're going to hell, you do that and you're going to hell? No, it's by proclaiming the gospel. It's all about the gospel. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. What is the faith? The faith is knowing that our souls rest in the hands of Jesus Christ, that He made an atonement for our sins. We have to continually proclaim the gospel. They know not the gospel. They don't know that. They have not yet come into knowledge of that. They've not yet come into knowledge of the accountability of their sins and what the price that they're going to have to pay for that. They don't know it. It says they naturally are brute beasts. And those things they corrupt themselves. They naturally in the flesh. It's very natural for them to want to go after the things of the flesh. It's very natural for the rest of the world to want to sin, because that's part of the flesh. I'm going to turn over to John chapter 8, and I'm going to read you something in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's why they don't want to hear it. That's why they despise dominion. That is why that they do that. You know, you got a lot of people nowadays that are very confused, not only about gender, you got a lot of people that are confused about salvation. They're very confused about salvation because there's so many that tell me that they're saved, and I started switching the question. Have you ever been born again? These people that now they got, they tell you that. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? They'll tell you that, but I don't think they truly know what it means. I don't think that they know what they're talking about, because the Bible says here, folks, this is not my opinion, this is the Word of God. He said if you were of God, you would hear His words. You would do His will. Works are evidence. Works can't get you saved, but they're evidence of true salvation. Whenever people go out here, and if you find people that are not even doing these things, but if they're sympathetic towards the things that are going on in this country, and the movements of Satan that are going on in this country, they are probably lost. I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you the Word of God. Because what we find here, just like it said over there in John chapter 8, it says they're the father of the devil. They're the father of his works they're going to do. It's natural for them to do that because they're still in the flesh. They've never been born again. These people have never been born again. They're going to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire because they've forgotten. They did not read God's Word. They did not find out. They did not see the example that God had set before them of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and any cities in like manner. He's not said, they've not seen that. They've not recognized that. What can we do to help them? What can we do to help them? I'm going to go now to verse 17. Book of Jude, verse 17. It says, but beloved, remember, also remember. Remember God's judgment, but also remember that these things were told to you before. It says, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. We've already been told before time that there's going to be ones that mock us for the faith. There's going to be ones that put us down and try to ridicule us for our beliefs. There's going to be ones that try to ridicule us for trying to live for God. But we find also here, it says, These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. They separate themselves from God. They don't have the Spirit. Just like I said, ones who are sympathetic towards the things that's going on in this country, and the ones that practice sin over and over again and tell you they're saved, they're wrong, folks. They're dead wrong. I'm giving you biblical doctrine to tell you so. Okay? So you just need to keep a witness unto them. You need to earnestly contend the faith. Earnestly, seriously, argue on behalf of the gospel is what that's saying. We have to earnestly argue on behalf of the gospel. We have to keep in remembrance of God's judgment. But I'm getting somewhere. Just stay with me. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, wait a minute, eternal. There's the second time that word's appeared in the epistle of Jude. The first time it said over here, it's talking about suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And now we read here, it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So I talked about before, you need to remember the judgment of God. We need to be in remembrance of the judgment of God. We need to be watching for it because we have a nation that is headed for it and we will suffer along with them. I promise you. We have to be watching for that. And it says here, when we're watching for that judgment, what is that judgment? The suffering of the vengeance of eternal fire. God could send down fire and burn this place to the ground right now. And every lost sinner, everyone you love that you think might be lost probably is, and they're going to suffer eternal fire. The ones there in Sodom and Gomorrah are still in hell today. I'm telling you, they're still there today, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. But how can we help them? Keep in remembrance that it's been told to us before. Keep in remembrance, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the will of God. Keep yourselves doing God's will and look for the mercy. Look and find a way that we can show mercy to lost sinners, just as Jesus Christ has shown us mercy. How can we help the world? How can we help the lost and dying world? It says they naturally go after the lust of their flesh. They're naturally going to do what Satan wants them to do. I don't know what kind of movies y'all watch, but I'm sure that you've seen movies that have some kind of monsters in it or bad guys, and you've got some kind of hero, and he's just slaying them. He's killing them. I mean, dead. And you're like sitting there going like, yes, yes, yes. Even if you're not doing that, you're doing that in your heart, in your mind. Why are you doing that? Why are you glad to see those people or those monsters, whatever else it is, die? Because they're evil. Because they're wicked. But folks, let me tell you something. Each and every one of us is evil. And each and every one of us is wicked. And God is right and just to send judgment on us right now. He'd be right to deny any of us access to the kingdom of heaven, including me. He'd be righteous in doing so. But He's had mercy. And He sent grace. And through doing so, He sent His Son down here to die for me while I was yet a sinner. I've done no works, nothing worthy to be saved. While I was yet a sinner, He died for me. And you too. And each and every one of us. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. The same goes for the rest of this dying world. He died for them too. They could be saved too. How can we help them? It's natural that they do these things. just because we don't want to, you know, just because I ain't never had the intentions of wanting to love another man, you know, don't mean that they don't. It's natural for them. It's natural for me to want to get mad and cuss and spit and gnarl and do all them things I've done. It's natural for me to sin because before I was born again in the Spirit, I was just flesh. Before I was born again in the Spirit, the devil was my father. That was the only higher deity above me, controlling me, that I had. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon me because I was not born again. So it's very natural for this world to live in the flesh and to do the will of the flesh only and continually. If we want to see results in our country of it getting better, it's going to come by us, the church, getting back to our roots, getting back to a place where we earnestly contend the faith, where we seriously argue on behalf of the gospel. We have to go and we have to explain things to people. We have to go, like I said, you're going to suffer some persecution for it. But don't worry, because for whatever you might suffer down here, there's gain in heaven. And this life is short. It's a vapor, James says. Just like a smoke. Just like when you see somebody smoking a cigarette and they pull that thing out and they blow a little bit of smoke out, you just see it for just a little bit and it dissipates. Compared to eternity, that's the way this life is. It's just going to be here for a little bit. It's going to dissipate into the mass expansion of eternity that we're going to have hereafter. Why not live for Christ? Why not help your brothers and sisters that are dying and going to hell? Why not put that first in our lives and earnestly contend the faith that we might keep in remembrance of God's judgment, that we might also keep in remembrance and look for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life? These people here can suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. If America was judged today, how many friends and loved ones do you know would die and go to hell? How many work people, people at work and school and all over, do you know would die and go to hell for eternity and suffer the vengeance of eternal fire, the judgment of eternal fire? We need to look for opportunities to show mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Only God can give eternal life through forgiveness, through the precious atoning blood of Jesus Christ. But you've heard the phrase, leading somebody there. You know, we're not perfect people. Going and showing other people how to be perfect. I heard a good evangelist say this. This is not my word, just as he is. I have to let you know that. That we're just beggars. Showing other beggars where we found bread. Where we found something to eat. Where we found life-sustaining bread that could give us eternal life. We're going to have to get and array ourselves in a way to where that we're contending earnestly. We're taking serious our obligation to God to speak the gospel, to proclaim the gospel message to a lost and dying world. This country's in worse shape than it's ever been in the history of this country. You know who can help it? Jesus can. You know who He uses to do His will? Us, the church. We have to get back on the right track. Just for the sake of it, I'm going to ask them to come get a tune on the piano. I didn't plan on doing an altar call tonight. But maybe, friend, maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you've not yet come into that relationship with the Lord. Friend, maybe one of you is here tonight, and you're afraid about that vengeance of that eternal fire. And you'd like to know more about looking to that mercy of eternal life. Friend, you could come tonight and you could get things right with the Lord. I'm just going to play a few verses here. And I'm going to say a prayer and I'm going to let you go on home and y'all can eat. But before you would, if you feel the urge, come up here and ask the Lord for whatever it is you might need. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like you haven't been doing enough for the Lord. You feel like you haven't been earnestly contending for the faith. You forgot about the judgment of God. You forgot about the mercy of God. Maybe you feel like you could do more. Friend, I tell you, there's no better time than now to come up here to this altar and ask God to help you with that. Don't put it off any longer. We've put it off long enough. That's why we're in the shape we're in. That's why the country's in the shape that it's in. That's why there's so many dying and going to hell. Don't put it off any longer. We can come now and ask God to help us. And we can continue to earnestly contend for the faith. We could be in remembrance of God's judgment. And we could be in remembrance of the mercy. I'm going to play one more verse. Anybody? There weren't very many hands went up when I asked how many had been persecuted. I think we could be spreading the gospel a little harder. We could earnestly be more earnest, serious about arguing the faith, proclaiming the gospel. Father, we thank you, God, for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost moving, Lord, that you put on my heart to be able to preach tonight. God, I couldn't have done it without you. Lord, I'm just a rotten, empty vessel, Lord, and I thank you tonight for filling me, God, that I might run over. I pray, God, tonight, if there's one, Lord, that has something on their heart, God, I pray that you'd not let them leave out the church parking lot without they get it right with you, Lord. We just trust in you to take care of us, God. Watch over us, guide us, and direct us. Pray once again, Lord, you'd be with these people as they leave here and they part and go to their houses or wherever it be that they're headed, and that you'd keep them safe, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, on the pastor of this church, that you'd ever give him healing, God. Just move on him in a mighty way, Lord, with your hands, God, and just give him the healing, just as you did to those in the days of this book, Lord. Just ever heal him that he might come back and be able to shepherd this flock once again. I thank you, Lord, for coming here and allow us to have the freedom to worship tonight, God. Having the freedom, God, to come to a place, Lord, and to look to Thee and to call upon Thy sweet name in prayer, Lord, and in Your Word, God, that we might communicate with You. We thank You in advance for all the blessings You're going to bestow upon us in the future. And we just thank You most of all for Your Son, Jesus Christ, dying on that cross, making the atonement for my sins and preaching every one. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being willing to follow the Father's will. In Your good and holy name we beg. Amen.